Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Peace, what's up, fam? We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, along with Queen Rigel. And yes, indeed, and our brother Mufasa Ra, and we are Collective Minds Radio. We back in the building, y'all. Thanks for joining us. Of course, this is 2020, so every week is something new. You know what I mean? Something goes down every week. We're a couple weeks away from the election, so we got a great show lined up. You know, great dialogue, great deal with the family. This Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. Hit us up. We all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And our brother Mufasa, you with us, bro? Yes, indeed. All right, I guess we'll wait on Brother Mufasa and Queen Rigel to join us.
Yes, sir. Are you picking me up, my brother?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now, brother. What's good?
There we go. Hold on. Let me start this thing over right. Hotel.
Yes, indeed.
Mubarakani and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Rock. I'm in the building.
In the building, and like I said, we are Collective Minds, plus Queen Rigel, and we here to build with the family, share some constructive dialogue, hear some collective thoughts, and, you know, see where we at. Like I say, 2020 has been amazing. It's been unprecedented. There's been a lot of things happening, and, you know, we just gonna continue rolling. We got, what is it, it's October 18th. So that means we got less than 2 months to the end of the year. You feel me? And 2020 will be a wrap. So, you know, shout out, man. I'm telling you, shout out to everybody that didn't make it this far. So if you on this line, you're able to listen to our voice, you know, give yourself a round of applause. Pat yourself on the back because you have made it. You feel me? So, yeah, shout out to everybody that did make it, but shout out to everybody that made it as well. But we here.
Yeah, you made
it. You
know
what I'm saying?
You made it.
Yes, yes.
And hopefully you don't regret that you made it.
Nah, you hear me? Hilarious.
Because
yeah, my brother.
Because this has been a heck of a ride.
Man, it's been a ride. Tell me about it. So, yeah, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Yes, sir, man. I had a fantastic week. Everything is great. You know, I want to shout out my family. I was just on a Zoom call with my family. You know, this COVID-19 stuff, you know, we came up with a nice way to reunite and have our, you know, slash kind of like Zoom family reunion. So it was fun to hear and talk to family I ain't seen in many moons.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to my family. That was fun. That was a good time. We definitely need to stay in touch. And also, I want to make an acknowledgement that, you know, this weekend, October 16th, you know, which is Friday, marked the 25th anniversary of the Million Man March.
That's right.
You know, 25 years ago, the Nation of Islam, headed by Minister Louis Farrakhan, put together a march that he called upon 1 million black men to come and make an atonement and, you know, forgive themselves of all their wrongdoing and make an oath to do better for communities, you know, self and family. That happened 25 years ago. And, it was an honor to be able to witness that and watch the replay of that. You know, I don't know, what were you doing 25 years ago, Brother Kev, on the day of the Million Man March? Do you remember where you was at that day?
Not exactly, but I remember I did watch it. You know what I'm saying? So 25 years ago, I would need the year. What year was that? That was 95. Okay, 95. So 95, I was still living with, actually, you know, I was in high school. I was probably at my mom's or either at my old dude house, my pop's house. But, yeah, I remember watching it. It was a powerful demonstration, you know what I'm saying, to see, you know, to see all those black people there. And, yeah, it was a powerful demonstration, bro.
I wasn't as woke back then. I was still asleep, but I was always kind of militant. So I remember having to work out. I had this little part-time job at Steak and Shake. And I remember not going to go to work because that was the whole thing, too. Like, you know, most black men were saying, hey, we weren't going to even work that day. Everybody was trying to focus on getting to Washington, D.C. for the march.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being at home, being at that job, like, man, I shouldn't even be here. I want to bother her. And I actually quit that day. They wouldn't let me leave, so I walked out. I can't do that now. But back then, I was like, man, forget this job. I'm out of here. I'm going home to watch the Million Man March on TV. And that's what I did. Who would have known? That planted a seed in your boy to be able to help the Nation of Islam and the Minister Louis Farrakhan moving forward.
Yes, indeed. And I look at you. You're in the rank.
Look at me now.
You feel me?
In the ranks,
yes, sir. But yeah, that's shout out to that 25 years, man. That was a powerful demonstration. I don't think they had no incidents. I remember it was showing on C-SPAN. I think they might have had some of it on CNN, but it was pretty much, you know, you could see it if you wanted to see it. And I remember, you know, buses and people leaving here and going to D.C., driving out. And all that. So, yeah, it was a good time. It was a powerful demonstration. And, you know, hopefully we can see something similar to that, you know, in the future here. I know they tried to redo it. What was that, last year?
No, that was in, was 2000.
Might have been the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, they had the march. Yeah,
okay.
that was another march, yeah. But, yeah, nothing like the Million Man March back in 95. You know, they had a pledge. And, you know, maybe one day, maybe even next week, I'll try to read off the pledge. But all these men took a pledge and an oath, like I said, to their communities, to selves. And, you know, I'll read that off maybe next week. Yeah, because it's something
indeed.
That we need to revisit. And still have our young folks taking their place. So we'll do that next weekend.
Right. Okay, cool. Looking forward to that. Cool. I think that'll be dope. That'll be tight. But yeah, family, we here. This is Collective Minds Radio. This week we are building on the town hall meetings that Biden and Trump had. So instead of doing a face-to-face election, you know what I'm saying, they opted to do a town hall meeting that was separate. Biden had his town hall, Trump had his town hall, and then they had a host or a moderator, and then they had people from the audience ask questions. So these were held separately, right? They was held separately for each candidate to kind of, you know, take questions from the audience on their own, and then they each had different moderators. So that was interesting. And I also want to throw in, you know, we can chop it up about Ice Cube as well, because Ice Cube this week, for those that don't know, he had a contract with Black America that he's been pushing, you know, for the longest. And he had tweeted that he had met with he had talked to the Democrats, or the Democrats had approached him and saying they liked some of the things in the plan, but they wanted to wait until after the election to try to get something done. But he said the Trump administration was like, okay, we like the plan, let's sit down and we can talk about it. And I think they ended up using some of the stuff from Ice Cube plan in the Platinum plan for Black America that Trump had put out, you know, a week or so ago. So he was getting a lot of flack for that. You know, you had Democrats calling him a sellout, and, you know, people just kind of going in on him. So, you know, we're going to talk about that as well. So hit us up, family. The number is 929-477-1697. And, yeah, we're going to start
it
with
what it is.
With our brother Mufasa Ra, real quick, and see what was his thoughts on the town hall. First, brother, did you get to watch both of the town hall meetings? And then, you know, what was your overall thoughts on the town halls?
Yes, sir. I definitely going to get into that. Just wanted to make a quick statement about the whole Ice Cube thing. You can't get mad
yes, sir.
At somebody who knows that you have to. It's nothing wrong with being able to sit down and speak truth to power. So shout out Cube. I ain't got no problem with the brother. If you know that the president, as much as Black people may hate it, whoever hates it, as much as you may hate the fact that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, the fact still is he is the president of the United States. He's the head of this country. So, hey.
Right.
You want to get some things done. You want to let your voice get heard. I can't get mad at Q for sitting down and speaking to him about, you know, trying to get things done for our community. Hey, I mean, it is what it is. But I ain't gonna go too long wind on it. Yes, I watched both of these debates, and of course, most people who listen to this show know that I'm a Trump supporter. Donald Trump is my guy. That's my cat. He's very entertaining. I mean, I have no problem with the man. Now, what I noticed from these two debates, first off, with Donald Trump's debate, the lady was very rude. She was on the attack. She was cutting Donald Trump off every second. He couldn't even finish his sentence without being cut off. And verbally attacked. She tried to throw some, you know, lies out there. He didn't want to give him a chance to correct himself. It was vicious. It was just a vicious attack. This man is hated. Hated not just by some Black people, but hated by a lot of white folks too. The man is hated. And the way that lady was rude and attacked Donald Trump, attacked her president, I think that was shameful. It showed her lack of class. And it was horrible. When you looked at Joe Biden's, the person who was, you know, asking him the questions was nice, calm. It was such a calm setting. You know, people was able to ask their questions, and Joe wasn't interrupted. He would go on his long tirade of talking where he's stumbling and bumbling, but, you know, he was able to get through because no one interfered in his talking, you know, while he was talking. On the other hand, with Trump, even though he was interrupted, he stayed on point, though. You know, he was used to the attack. He handled it. He handled it like his lead. He handled it like you would want your president to handle it. And this is why I said when Trump had got the COVID, they didn't want that second debate anyway, because in my opinion, Trump killed them on the first debate. And they didn't want him and Joe Biden to have to sit down again anyway. You know, they want Joe to be able to be undisturbed, be able to sit and talk to you like a 70-something-year-old buffoon. I mean, not buffoon. I shouldn't say that. 70-something-year-old man he is that can hardly focus. They want him to be able to talk and not be interrupted. So this played right into the palms of his hands. They didn't want to do the debate. They didn't. And, of course, Donald Trump was like, I ain't finna do it virtually. So when he said, he wanna do it virtually, then Biden set up the town hall. So Trump like, okay, well, I'm going to do me one, too. But it was definitely two different tones in these town halls. Trump was viciously attacked and assaulted, and Biden was treated, like the old man he is. Like he was in a nursing home. They was easy and sweet on him. They didn't ask him any tough questions. I like how Trump was again asked about the whole race thing, him denouncing white supremacy. He spoke on that again. He's like, my people tell me you're going to ask me this because, you don't stop. You always ask me about white supremacy. I've denounced it over and over again, but you don't stop asking me. You never asked Joe Biden about that. You never asked Joe Biden about Antifa. He don't ever get asked hard questions when it comes to race. That's like I said, in his town hall, it was roses and bubbles. But Trump was viciously attacking. You got to look at that. That's a sign, I'm telling you. When all these white folks hate Trump, there's probably something good in it for black people.
Go
for the dime. Vote for the dime. They don't like him for a reason. So, vote for the dime. Get on board with the platinum plan. So yeah, that was my take, man. They was nice to Joe, to creepy Joe, and they was evil and mean and harsh to Donald Trump because they don't like the man. They can't stand him.
Yes, indeed. All right. Yeah, we get back with you. See what's up. If you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the town hall meeting that they had this past week between Trump and Biden. We are less than 3 weeks away from the official presidential election, and it's getting heated. There's a lot going on. There's been a lot of different protests, a lot of different opinions, strong opinions on both sides. So, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. So we're talking about the town hall meetings that just passed. Give us your thoughts on the whole Ice Cube situation as well. Roger, you there? Yes, indeed. Hello?
Yeah, I think he's still tied up.
Okay, yes, indeed. So we all keep it moving now. Now, you had mentioned something. Now, I watch both town hall meetings, as much as I
can. Okay, I'm sorry. I hate to bust in on you and cut you off, but I just had a little technical difficulties. One of the things was on mute, and I didn't realize. But, yes.
No worries. We get
hopefully,
how
I'm
you
coming
doing?
In loud and clear. I'm pretty good.
Yes,
I'm pretty good.
Welcome, Roger, to the show, y'all. Welcome, Roger.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. And no announcements.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we way past that point. You said no announcements.
No announcements
right, okay.
On my end.
Yeah.
But,
all right.
But no, really,
right
quick,
though,
I appreciate everybody bearing with me. So I welcome myself.
Oh, yeah. All right, welcome.
So you watched the debate?
Yes.
Did you watch the town hall?
Watch the debate? Right.
Yes, I watched it. I watched all of
the town hall meetings.
Yes, I watched the town hall meetings of Trump. Biden, I watched a great deal of it, not the whole entire episode of it. And I really do mean episode. But
it was all right.
Yeah.
I barely got through it myself without falling asleep.
Yeah, so what we in now? We in what's season two, episode what? 100.
Right.
This is a big show, but really, it was just pretty much what I expected, and very similar to the debate. My opinion has not really changed much, you know, from the debate. When we talked about it the last couple of weeks, it's pretty much the same. They tried to do a little bit better in being able to answer questions this time around. So that was good, although the questions seemed still to be a little, like they kind of skirted around them. But the difference is this time just one-on-one without having those two together, it made them a little more focused, you know, but they still didn't answer the questions fully. They still kind of danced around them. Even Trump with the, I heard you mention Trump answering the supremacist question, Mufasa. And I still don't understand why does it hurt him so much to answer the question when it's brought up about the white supremacy, denouncing the white supremacy. It's only brought up because of the prior times it was asked, he either neglected to ask or tried to act like he was really kind of clueless over some things. So if he's just not straightforward and straight up, hey, nope, don't denounce it, don't like it, don't support it, I don't think these questions wouldn't continue to come up. I think it comes up because of his response. So, and his response revealed how he truly feels about it. That's my opinion as far as him and the white supremacist question go. You know, Biden.
I want to respond, but I'll wait till you do.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up quick. I'm multitasking. I apologize to everybody. But Biden, on the other hand, he is Biden. You know, Biden is Biden, and Sleepy Joe Biden, I think, is a good name for him because he's a little slow on his responses as well. And I don't want to go too much into it because I'm really more interested in everybody else's opinion and the callers. But basically, my brief, quick opinion of Biden is that, you know, I don't really trust his answers. I think he just provides the answers that he feel like we want to hear. I don't trust that they're genuine. So that's it.
All right.
My
well,
only thing
right
I was going to ask you, Roger, was, I mean, I've sent y'all, you know, dozens of videos about Trump denouncing the white supremacy thing. And I've told you my opinion. I mean, you just get tired of answering the same thing over and over and over again. Like, what more, what do they want him to say? Like, I've heard him say, I denounce white supremacy. I denounce the Klan. I denounce that. I've heard him say this. So it's like, do we really expect this man to say this at every sit down? I denounce white supremacy. This is what the world wants. But why we don't ask Joe Biden? Why Joe Biden ain't asked these questions? See, they do this to play on our psyche. They do this to play on our minds. They want to attach Trump with racism, with being a racist white supremacist, because they feel like that's their way to separate him from the black vote. Knowing Joe Biden is the biggest races of them too. That's just my opinion. But they know that's the only way that they can get Trump is they try and divide him from black people's vote by trying to attach him with this, with the whole racism thing. But I've heard him say it over and
right.
over again. He's denounced it. He's denounced it over and over again. How many times the man got to say it?
But he is attached to him because that's his base. You know what I'm saying? We just got to keep it real. That's his
so
base.
So that's what I'm saying. How many times do you got to keep saying?
People. But
so,
people
I
keep
mean,
asking him that Right. People keep asking them that because these certain groups keep tweeting about him. People who are known racists, who are these alt-right folks, they keep tweeting support for him. They show up at his rallies. They're his base. You dig what I'm saying? So people keep asking him, but the thing is, he also deflects because he said he denounced him in the last debate, which he didn't. He didn't clearly denounce him. He was like, who is it? What do you want me to say? He just kept asking questions. And then this time in the town hall when he was asked about him, he kept deflecting to the left. Well, what about Antifa? What about these people that's destroying the country? What about the Democrats? What about Joe? Instead of just, you know what I'm saying, instead of just denouncing him or answering the question that the woman had asked, like, it's really not that difficult, but he's trying to tiptoe, which I understand. He's just not trying. He doesn't want to upset his base because he knows these people are his base. But in order to get, you know, kind of not look that way, he wants to tiptoe and say, okay, I denounce them. I denounce white supremacy. I denounce racism. I denounce the KKK, which the KKK is a defunct group. Like, really? The KKK then morphed into the police and to our politicians. So, he be skating around it, you know what I'm saying? And when he do say it, it's like he's forced to do it, you know what I'm saying? Like they twisting his arm, like, I'm going to just say it just so they'll shut up. But he know these people are his base, and he doesn't want to upset them, you know, which as a politician, you know, that's what you got to do. But it was one thing now in the town hall meeting when the lady was asking him about the white supremacy. He said that he was like, they are anti-pedophilia, and I agree with that, referring to one of them groups. I'm like, what? Like, I don't know if y'all caught that, but he was like, they're anti-pedophilia. I agree with that. I'm like, bro,
yeah.
You talking about pedophilia, and you agree with that, man? We talking about stuff like that has nothing to do with these people being anti-black racists. So for me, you know, watching the town halls, and we gonna get to the call lines here in 1 second, family. Just bear with me. For me, watching the town hall, I mean, it was politics as usual. It basically showed me that both of these candidates are politicians, meaning they will lie, like Rachel said, they will lie and say anything. Just if it sounds good, they will go on either side. You know what I'm saying? So this is American politics. It's a lot about lies. It's a lot about deceit. And that's what we're watching. I'm hearing some background noise, family. But, yeah, it's a lot of lies and it's a lot of deceit. Another thing with Trump, and I get to Biden in a second. Another thing with Trump now, he's kind of he's a BSer. Like, we know this. He's a BSer, and he does a lot of just talking, just to be talking. Now, because it's 4 months left, or it's a few months left in his presidential campaign, and he was talking about, well, we need to nominate a Supreme Court justice right away. The Senate should nominate this justice right away because I'm president for 4 years, I'm not president for three, blah, blah, blah. Cool. That's a cool stance if that's your stance all the time. But when Obama was in office in 2016, 18 months before the end of Obama term, he said the Senate should wait before they nominate another Supreme Court, and that's just because it was Obama. So I'm like, bro, you flip-flopping depending on where you at. You know what I'm saying? You flip-flopping depending on what side you on. So that right there didn't look good to me. I'm like, okay, Trump's still on that bull. You know what I'm saying? Because he really just hates Obama, which is clear. We all know that. He hates Obama. But, I mean, stand on what you said. If you don't think a president should nominate a federal judge in his last year, just say that. But now when it's up to you to do it, you want to rush and get this lady confirmed and whatnot. So, you know, Trump is with the politics. He's with the BS. He's an opportunist, and he'll do anything to get the vote, even if that means catering or putting something out there for black people to spite the Democrats. a.k.a. the Platinum Plan. He'll put that out just to spite the Democrats. But if when you really break down his plan, there's really not nothing in there that's really concrete and solid that's going to lower the wealth gap, which is, in my opinion, a media concern for black people's economics. We need that money. We need that check cut, and we need it immediately. You see what I'm saying? But I digress on that. Now, with Joe Biden, his town hall was, I mean, it was really painful to watch, to be honest. It was painful because Joe was up there. He was just talking. Like, he talked about the crime. They talked about, they asked him about the crime bill, the 94 crime bill, and he was kind of bug dancing around it. You know, his stance on police reform, he was kind of tiptoeing, or he was firm as far as police need to, they need more funding for training and things like that, which I totally disagree with. I don't think the problem with the police is a training issue. This is clearly a white supremacy issue. This is clearly racists have infiltrated police departments. That's what it is. And if we don't punish these race soldiers, they're going to keep doing it. Like, and that's the bottom line. So it's not about reform. It ain't about training. It ain't about taking these cats to the Civil Rights Museum and letting them meet some nice black people so they don't be afraid. It has nothing to do with none of that. This is about white supremacy infiltrating law enforcement. And if Biden or Trump don't address that, I mean, that show you where they are. And then when they talk about the COVID-19 relief, who knows what Biden would do if he get in office. And the Democrats keep pushing this thing where the black community and communities of color are most affected, and they need such and such help. They need this, they need that. And I'm really skeptical about the help that they're talking about, because I think this is a plot, and I'm going to get in my conspiracy tinfoil bag. This could be a plot to really harm black people with these so-called vaccines. If you're going to be pushing these things onto black people in the guise of help, I'm not sure I trust what you're trying to push, you know what I'm saying, as far as the vaccine. So, you know, that's my concern when it comes to the Democrats. And Joe kind of talked about that in the town hall, saying that he's up to do whatever the quote-unquote experts and scientists say, which could be, you know, I don't think they could do mandatory vaccines, but they could make it to where, you know, a lot of people who work these different service jobs have to get vaccines. So I don't know. All in all, I'm really over this whole election. I think both candidates are trash. I think Trump is the better candidate in terms of when it comes for black people, in my opinion. But I don't think he's that great of a candidate, if that makes sense. But I think Biden would just really be bad for black people. And, it wouldn't be good. I don't think we would recover from a Biden presidency as a group. But, again, I digress, and we can hit the call lines if y'all ready. If you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the Trump and Biden town hall meetings they had this past week. We got less than 3 weeks to the election. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You know what I mean? How you feeling? And we also touched on Ice Cube's contract with Black America. Some people online was kind of going in on Cube for saying that he spoke to the Trump administration. You know what I'm saying? But I'm with Mufasa on this. I don't think that's a bad thing as far as Cube speaking with the Trump administration. He said from his own mouth he hasn't endorsed any candidate, period. He said he went to meet with the Democrats. They told him to wait till after the election. He met with the Trump administration. They said, okay, we like some of the stuff, and they implemented some of the stuff in the Platinum Plan, quote unquote. So I don't have no problem with Cube meeting with them. Nobody was saying nothing when Cardi B met with Joe Biden. You dig what I'm saying? So what are y'all talking about? And that wasn't even a meeting. That was just some Zoom talk, you know what I'm saying? That was just like some Instagram live talk. Like, so Cube has a plan. He's trying to get something accomplished. He's trying to get some resources for black society, and you can't knock that. You know what I'm saying? Who's ever in power, that's what Cube say he's willing to work with. And that's what it is. Like, he said he don't trust none of them, but you have to present something, and if they renege on it, then you know where they stand. You know what I'm saying? If you make a deal with somebody, you know where they stand. Hey, take that as a lesson learned and move on and regroup. You dig what I'm saying? But at least you know you put that effort to make something happen. You know what I'm saying? So I have no problem with what Cube did. I think there's a lot of haters. There's a lot of Democratic flunkies. There's a lot of woke jokes that's clowning Cube because they, you know, they just don't understand how, you know, real power works. Negroes been powerless so long. When actual real power, how that works, they have no clue, and they just go off emotions. Oh, I hate Trump. I just hate Trump. He this, he that. Look, I'm willing to do business with anybody as long as there's a mutual respect and we can accomplish an objective. I don't have to really like you. You know what I'm saying? I really don't. If you complete the terms of this contract, we good. You know, you can do your thing, we can do your thing. Because once we got that we don't like each other out the way, okay, now what are we going to do? Can we conduct business? Can you do this and I do this and we have a mutual contract, period. So I'm not with emotion, so I could care less if somebody don't like me. Can you cut my grass? If I hire you for a job, can you do my plumbing? You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. So that don't even have to come up, really, whether we like each other or not. Can you complete the job that I asked you for? Because I'm not trying to be your friend no way. So it is what it is. But I digress. You dig what I'm saying? Y'all want to respond? Y'all respond or we can hit the call lines. What's up? Yo, yo. Queen Rigel.
I don't have a response. But if you want to get the callers, we can. That's fine.
Yeah, here we go, y'all. Response. Let's go to the call lines. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Area code 319-572. You on Collective Minds Radio? Would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
You can find racism in the bottom of a Cracker Jack box.
Right.
Yeah, I know I'm right.
No. I'm saying, what does that mean, though? What does that mean?
It means you try to find racism in every big topic.
But it is.
Well, what is with you and white people? You sound like a racist.
Well, I can be a racist. You know what I'm saying? We can go there, but I can't be a racist.
Oh,
huh?
Wait a minute. Did y'all hear that?
You need to go get some white bread.
Did Brother Kev just say he could be a racist? I'm going to leave
that
alone.
No, I said I cannot. No. I said I cannot.
I thought you said I can be a racist.
But every time we talk about white people, people are going to bring up racism. That makes you racist.
No, that doesn't. That doesn't, by definition.
That's not true. That's not true, Colin.
Yeah. But, yeah, they attacked Trump and pretty much pussycatted with Biden. And then, of course, a lot of people fell asleep through Biden because he was so boring, talking around questions. So.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, he definitely
was
good.
I've already voted. I'm done. So.
Yeah, okay.
You already voted?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Yes, indeed.
Well, you don't have to reveal who you voted for, you know. You know, you can keep that personal to yourself.
Well, I would.
If you want to.
I went with the one that's actually trying to work with black folks.
Go ahead.
And as far as I want to get on the topic of ICE with IQ. Why do black people want to call him a sellout when he offered a meeting with both parties. The one party said, no, we'll get back to you after the election, which is pretty much after elections, we don't give a damn what you say or think, because we already got you. Mm-hmm. And the Don said, we'll have a sit down. Bring them in. I'll make time on my field right now. Bring them in. Now he's a sellout. He said, no, I'll meet with you right now. The other one said, no, we're going to wait until after elections because we're going to throw you right back on the back burner. So, he knows, he's been into Hollywood. He knows what's going on there. So, and he's been in the black movement for a long time. So, and some of his stuff makes sense. And I don't know why everybody wants to call him a coon because he sat down and talked to Trump. Because Biden is
right,
huge.
Right.
So,
I don't know if everybody's doing it.
Who is the racist one? Trump or Biden? Sit down with me right now. Make time on my schedule. Biden said, no, I'll talk to him later. He's not, he thinks isn't that. So that makes Biden the racist. If you want to call out who's racist or not, that makes Biden the racist.
That don't necessarily make him a racist, although in my
opinion. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, no, according to your racist plan of how you describe racism, he got discriminated against with the Democrats, not the Republicans.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
According
no, what
to
I'm saying is.
Racial. So how can Donald Trump be racist if he's telling a black man to come, I'll sit down and talk to you about the plan, I'll actually incorporate some of your ideas into my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans is like, no, I don't want to talk to you right now. So who's the real racist? Who's the real racist?
That's what I'm telling you.
Biden.
That's right.
And the only reason they ain't asking him questions because he got that so-called black woman. So he can say, how can I be racist? I got a black friend.
Oh, not a black friend.
But he can say that. He can say that. And white people will buy that. And how is Trump racist just because racist people decide to vote for him? That does not make him racist.
There you go.
Just because racist people support him. Black people support him, too.
That's right. That's right. I think it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I think it's a conspiracy for the white folks to do it because that's a way for them to try to separate black people from Trump.
Okay.
So that's the conspiracy.
They have their preference.
What was that?
So, I'm waiting.
No.
Wait a minute. Repeat yourself,
Carl. You I'm waiting to respond. Go ahead.
Yeah, repeat that.
You breaking up.
Man, I'm just saying, everybody's calling Trump a racist, but he sat down with a black man and incorporated, listened to what this black man said, but he's a racist. When the Republicans say, no, after the race is over, after they figure out who's the president, you know they're not going to give a damn about what black people want to hear. And that's how the Democrats work.
Okay, let me respond. Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, Biden's a racist, the only reason why he's not being questioned is because he's got a black woman behind him, who probably sucked his dick to get the position.
Caller. Thank you for calling. We're going to keep listening. We'll let Brother Kev answer that.
Caller knows more about what than I do.
Right. Hilarious. Yeah. I mean, just real quick. Let me respond.
No, I'm
going
to try to move up here, but I wanted to let you by first.
Hello? Oh. Hello?
All right,
caller. Right on. Appreciate it. Just real quick, what I'm going to say is, because And this one thing we got to understand that, you know, racism and the system of white supremacy, it's not about liking people. It's not about who you like and this. It's not about that. This system is about power. This is how white folks can take those signs down and have us, you know, integrate with them in schools, and we can go to restaurants and sit next to them and this and that, but the racism still exists. You know, we basically in the same spot. So black people got to understand, see, the whole system of white supremacy works off deception. That's what it is. It's lies and deception. But see, in black culture, we think that if I don't mess with somebody, I'm just not going to mess with them. I'm not going to smile. I'm not going to be fake. You know, for the most part, that's pretty much our culture. White supremacy don't think like that. They'll smile with you. They'll laugh because they don't want to tip you off of them being racist. So they'll do whatever they have to do to maintain that power. So if it's patting you on the back, if it's hiring you for a job, if it's sitting next to you, laughing with you, going to happy hour for Chipotle or whatever, they're going to do that. That's not what it's about. This is about power and control and domination. That's what black people don't understand. But we're going to have to understand that because that's the system we in, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's about lives.
We're going to get back to that, brother Kelly. Yeah, let's get back to the callers on here.
Correct. Let's get
back on this debate.
Let's get it.
Sir, area code. Hold on here, y'all. Area code 314-381. Welcome to Collective Minds Radio. We'd like to ask a question and make a comment.
Yeah, and 1993, Joe Biden defended the KKK link Confederate group as many fine people.
Is this true? Yes. No, you're right.
And Biden has, and Trump has denounced white supremacy countless times, as far back as 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, and several weeks ago. So I would get teed off with these reporters from CNN who I can't stand and don't give much credibility. Like the one that was caught lying, said that his emails was hacked. He'd been around for 30 years with them, and he was fired. That's what you have. Thing is about Donald Trump, he has kept his promise. He has either kept them or he's worked hard to do so. That is hard to say with many presidents that I've ever witnessed. And he continues to do so. And, you know, guess who woke up? The Obama phone lady. You remember her? Go on YouTube.
The Obama
it says
phone.
Obama phone lady wakes up. And it plays scripts of Obama saying what he wasn't going to do. And he didn't. He did do it, especially when he raised taxes on people as low as in the $30,000 income range. And what he was supposed to do for her home state, Ohio. And she said after all this time, he still haven't done it. Now, as far as Ice Cube is concerned, Ice Cube says some very important things that the CNN interviewer didn't like to hear. And when he said that I ain't talking about minorities, I'm not talking about people of color, I'm talking about black people. CNN, with their ratchet ways, and people listen to them and take what they say as the gospel. You look at the hosts in these debates, like the first one that kept attacking Donald Trump.
Facts.
CNN did not want to hear that.
Right.
And that's why the guy got teased. And you know another thing. Social media has no damn business telling Ice Cube what he should and should not do. It ain't about selling out. How in the hell are you going to sell out when you never bought in?
Right.
Yeah, Roger, I know how to go there too.
I just ain't wiggling my head. That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point because Ice Cube did the interview with CNN with Chris Cuomo, I think that's his name. And you're right. He say, I'm not talking about minorities. I'm not talking about people of color, specifically for black people. And I feel that because that's where it's at. Because when you talk about minorities, black people will be the last in line to receive the benefits, because you got white women are considered minorities. Gay white men are considered minorities. White people with 5% Indian considered minority. You know, people with disabilities. All these people go get ahead of black people when it comes to any type of benefit or tangible that they say is for minorities. So Ice Cube is right and exact by having it specifically for black people. So,
and
yeah.
Here's another point. Why can't we haven't been hearing anything about Hunter Biden and Burisma and the Ukraine?
And the Ukraine.
And Biden,
well, we have
bribing the Ukraine. And wait a minute.
Yes.
And the money that Hunter Biden has been receiving from the Ukraine is being deposited with his daddy and his family in their bank accounts. That's money laundering.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
Why, look at the, look, he has had at least three business partners that's headed to jail.
Well,
and Biden,
I mean,
said that he didn't know anything about this, although it's mentioned in one of the email that the daddy knew. Thank you for introducing me to your father, or something like that.
Right, right. Well, they both, Trump and Biden, got folks around them that have been going to jail, so, you know.
Yeah, but if Trump person go to jail, it's like Moses coming down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, yeah. But that Biden stuff, you know, Steve Bannon said he got some emails or tapes or some of, you know, Steve Bannon was the former White House chief of staff for Trump, and he came out and said he got some stuff on Biden and Hunter Biden, and they deals with Ukraine. So, you know, they're going to be putting some stuff out, I'm sure.
But here's the point, though. If Trump does it, it's all over the news, all over everything. You go out to the mailbox and pop goes the weasel. Here's something on him, pops out of your damn mailbox. You go to lift the lid on your trash can and put in a bag of trash, pop goes the weasel. There comes something up on Trump. But you don't hear anything about this stuff that Joe Biden has been in during this campaign.
Yeah.
It's because of the bias. It's because of the lousy reporting. I'm going to tell you something. I got houses in two red states, Missouri and one state down south.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's going to win those states. Trump's going to win Missouri.
Right.
Blacks cannot outvote. Blacks make up 11% of the population in the state of Missouri. Whites make up 82%. Mm-hmm. And all blacks is now voting for Biden. So he's going to win. Trump's going to win Missouri. And that's a good thing, because now at least you stay in a red state.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Down where I'm down south, at least I got a home where I will be voting in a red state. So Biden is not going to hurt
Louisiana?
Us.
Is he going to win
down in
Louisiana?
Louisiana, absolutely. Winter home in Louisiana, summer home in Missouri.
Yes, sir.
And you know what I'm saying? If you want to see the results of since 1949 Democratic rule in St. Louis, go over on West Florissant and College and look at that big old sign that Steve Roberts has on the fence. And what's in the background, y'all? Raggedy ass buildings with broken out windows.
Mm-hmm.
That's typical of Democratic rule in the St. Louis area, especially North St. Louis. Raggedy building all along West Florissant, right there where Mars 28 got their little garden. Coming back east toward Grand, all that stuff is gone. All them houses tore down and burnt out. Those used to be nice neighborhoods.
Yeah,
across the street from O'Fallon Park. Them big homes on this stuff is gone. That's under the
now.
Ocean.
What I say,
yeah.
And I'm gonna give you one. I'm gonna do you one better, because I say the Democrats like for black people to be in that state. so they can use us for our vote and keep us, you know, keep us destitute, economically deprived, and, you know, down and out, so they can come back and be like, oh, we your friends, we coming to save you, but yet their policies undermining us and keeping us in the same economic situation. So, you know, I believe the Democrats like cities like that. They like high crime.
Well, the same thing with the schools, too, Kevin. You know, back in 1970, the St. Louis Public School District had over 111,000 students in the St. Louis Public School District. You know what they got today? About 23,000. What happened to all the kids, the families?
Right.
And then they don't want a parent to have school choice, like Donald Trump said in his first address to Congress. He said especially for blacks, they need to have school choice with vouchers. But it's them Democrats that don't want that. And you talk to some of these people, they say, well, you know, I don't think that's a good idea because you're going to take all the good kids out the classroom, out the school, and then what? Well, you mean to tell me a parent's supposed to sacrifice their child to a bunch of ratchetness where the child is not being challenged and his child is actually being bored? What kind of crazy mess is that? We know that you have good parents. We know that you have children that are challenged, exposed, and given the resources that they need in order to survive and prosper. But the parents are disadvantaged economically. So they don't want their child to be there, but they're forced to keep their child there. But if they had the resources, they would put the child in a place that goes along with their long-term educational goals. And you talk about historical black colleges and universities, well, you got about 113 now. By 2025, you'd be down to about 23. Why is that? Because they can't survive. It's not the child, folk, but the child that's children that's going to these schools, they aren't being prepared. Then you talk about student debt. You only have five colleges that has a graduation rate above 50%, and guess what? 6 years. What does 6 years mean? That means you got to pay 50% more. 4 years is normal. Two extra years is 50%. So what do that do to your college debt?
Right.
Yes, sir.
I'll see you later.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank
you,
my brother. You sure?
Yes, indeed.
I'm sure we
know
who that man
family
is going to be voting for.
Yeah, we are. We pretty much know. But, yeah, family, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the thoughts on the Trump and Biden town hall meetings they had, both candidates. Instead of doing a debate face-to-face, they just decided to do a whole separate town hall meeting. So call us up. Give us your thoughts, 929-477-1697. Man, we less than 3 weeks away. Let me ask you this, Mufasa. Are you going to vote early or are you waiting to November 3rd?
No, I'm waiting, bro. No, I'm waiting.
Okay, gotcha. Yes, indeed. I was just asking. We can hit the call lines. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, well, let's see. Area code 314-767. Would you like to ask a question or make a comment? What's going on? Welcome to Collective Minds Radio.
Please, caller.
Yeah, let me turn that TV down. I want to say hey, thanks for sliding by this morning and hooking me up with that bean pie. I appreciate that. Yes.
No problem.
One of them marvelous NOI bean pies. Yep.
Yes. Nah. Yes, sir. Well, thank you, my brother.
I watched and the same as y'all is where I was, and all I do is watch political stuff all day long. I'll sit and watch C-SPAN all day long, but for some, it was something with that Biden's town hall. I couldn't finish it. I couldn't. It's the fact that his lies were irritating. It was the same lies.
Yeah.
They were irritating. They were rambling and annoying. So I just couldn't take it. And then But I tried. I really tried because I'm trying to see what people see in this guy. I'm trying to
right.
see how he's fooling. How he's fooling us.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
All I can see is that they
don't
buy
it. But I guess he put you to sleep.
He's
riding
the Obama
coattail. It's like, I guess that, and it's like
he's riding
the
Obama
coattail. A trance with his rambling.
Yeah,
he'll
yeah they. I mean, they know he's a bad candidate. They know he's a bad candidate, and that's why the only thing they can do is talk about Trump. They know he's terrible. They gotta know.
So, yeah, this whole thing
gotta,
this is Trump against everybody.
So I want to speak on this with Tarajal. You say why can't he answer the question about the white supremacy? He does. He answers it a lot. And the fact that the media keeps asking him, it's a propagandic mind trick to where every time you hear white supremacy, you automatically think about Donald Trump because they associated him with it all the time, even though he has no association with it. The media keeps it front and foremost in your mind by asking him that every time he speaks. So it's like every time
yeah.
he steps up to a podium, he's supposed to start off with, "Hi, I'm Donald Trump. I am not a... No, I'm not a racist. Hi, I'm Donald Trump. I denounce all this." Every time he had to speak, no other president in history has had to do that. And racists
right.
all throughout America, all throughout history, have voted for presidents. So I'm not under... Other than the fact that the media is trying to keep that in your head by repeating it every time, which is why Donald Trump says, "Why are you asking me this every time?" There's a guy that's been in office for 47 years passing racist stuff, and he's had 47 years to fix these racial inequalities, but he has not. I've been here for 3.5 years, and I've done a few things, but you ask me this every single time. But that's because they want to associate the idea of white supremacy with a man who is not associated with white supremacy. And it's working.
Yeah.
Just like sleepy Joe Biden and his undertone, underdrone, sucks in the minorities, the low information voters that just, they didn't hear a dang old thing he said. And again,
nope.
he didn't answer any questions. And he danced around. Donald Trump, you might not have heard him answer the questions because you didn't want to hear the answers to those questions. But he was trying to answer the questions. It's just that they gave him such a combative moderator. And they know that him, he and she do not get along. They have not gotten along in the past. They are oil and water, those two, and they did that to him on purpose. They gave him a female that doesn't get along with, who's not scared of him, which nobody really should be scared of the president. That's silly to be scared of your president. Then he doesn't need to be the president if you got to be scared of him. But the way she treats him is not to do with anything with being scared of somebody. It's about disrespect, totally disrespecting him.
Exactly. Exactly. She didn't treat him with respect at all. She didn't treat him like a president.
Not at all. No.
She was very
disrespectful. And she knew that the questions that she knew the questions she was asking were loaded and hostile. That's why whenever she asked the questions and she got his response, she laughed at him because she knew that he couldn't not answer it, but he had to answer it. And it was a loaded question just to make him look bad because that's their whole goal. The media's whole entire goal is to make Donald Trump look bad. Because they need to retake the established politicians need to retake the government so they can continue destroying America. Donald Trump isn't the greatest president, but he's not the worst president. And right now he's stemming the tide. He's giving us a moment of reprieve, a little bit of more time to prepare. Because the next time we have a Democratic, any politician, Democratic or Republican, it doesn't matter. They'll be established. They'll be an established politician. And that's the end of our nation. Start watching. Once we get another politician besides Trump in there, start watching like cattle. Like right now, you know, you got your cattle out there and you're driving through the country. You see the cattle just roaming through the range, just doing their own thing. And then out comes the farmers and the ranchers, and they start herding them up. The next thing you know, you go down another portion of the highway and you see them all in this smaller kenneled up area. But the cows don't think nothing of it because they're still well fed. They're still pretty protected. There's no danger to them that they see right now. But they don't understand that they've just been boxed up in kennels. The next thing they get is they start getting pushed towards the chute. But, you know, the last time they were moving around, it wasn't so bad. We had food and everything. So they started getting moved to the chute, and the cage wall started getting closer and closer together. They're not realizing what's happening until the one in front of them gets the little ramrod shot through their head. But by that time, it's too late because you can't back away from it anymore because the one behind you doesn't know yet either until you get pushed up and he sees what happens to you. And the walls are closing. The people can't see it because it's still kind of wide and they're still fed. They're still being fattened. So they're still somewhat protected. So it's all nice that, you know, our freedoms are being eroded and our society is closing the walls on us because we really can't see it as a group until it's too late. And when it's too late, it's too late. So you need to take this time while we still have the president. You've got another 4 years to prepare for the closing of the gates, for them to be starting to encroach on you and pushing you towards that hammer in the head.
Right.
Well, right on, Carla. Hey, appreciate you.
Yes, sir, Carla. We appreciate you.
Good point, sir.
All right, be easy.
Yes, indeed. Peace.
You want to respond to that, Brother Kev, or we can keep it pushing?
Yeah, we can keep it pushing, family. If you just joined us, we're talking about the Trump and Biden town hall meetings. We got the election less than 3 weeks away. Hit us up and let us know what you think. Yeah, let's hit the call.
All right. Area code 314-605. Welcome to Collective Minds Radio. Would you like to ask a question or make a comment? 314-605, would you like to make ask a question or make a comment? All right, they just listen.
All right.
Area code 314-616. Welcome to Collective Minds Radio. Would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Hey, yeah, how's it going, everybody? Real quick, I want to apologize to my brother Kevin. I made a statement about Ice Cube that may have misrepresented what I thought he was intimating. But all in all, to be honest, and you know, I like the brother music. I do like the little transition that he moved from the music to the film. I really think that when it comes to guys like, you know, Ice Cube and T.I. and these other, you know, conscious rappers or whatever you want to call it, I don't know if politics is the place that we want to place them. And I do think they have a strong voice. But I think that a lot of Hello?
Is that on your background? We got some background noise. Can you mute your line if you're not speaking?
Yeah, that's not me. That's not me.
Oh, okay. There you go. You good,
but,
go ahead. I'm with you.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I would really love it if these Killer Mics and Ice Cubes, if they would use a lot of that money to fund the grassroots movement for people that have been doing this work since day one, like Dr. Claude Anderson.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
I find it crazy that here's a person that's been marching and advocating for our liberation since Dr. King and beyond.
Right.
And he has a hard time getting those funds. But if I said right now, Rick Ross having a party down in Miami, and he charged me $500 at the door, you couldn't be down there fast enough. You see what I'm saying? So I really think that if these rappers who have the influence, if they really want to advocate for change, they should fund the grassroots movement and encourage their followers to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really take a shift because black people, if we're honest, a lot of us in the mind are childlike. So, you know, we like things, tangible things. But if our focus was shifted through the people that we respect the most to put our financial backing behind our liberation, we could really change a lot of things.
Right.
And that's all I have for today.
Facts. Right on, bro. He made an excellent point. And I think that's really where the rubber meet the road. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you can talk all the consciousness and stuff you want, but like brother Anthony Shahid, who we had on here before, like he said, where is your money going? Like he was like, we can tell how black you are by how you spend your money. And I'm going to be honest, I got a lot of work to do in that area. But when it comes down to it, we are going to have to start circulating our dollars with each other. And to the brother point, you know, we don't have to put it all on, you know, these entertainers and athletes, even though they do have the capital to fund a lot of the grassroots movement. You know, the people got to step up as well. So the people includes them. So I'm with the brother 100%. They're going to have to start putting their money into some of these grassroots movements. But you know what? That's going to upset a lot of their white corporate sponsors. A lot of these rappers, believe it or not, are corporate bought. They have contracts with McDonald's, with Sprite, with these other groups that, you know, don't necessarily advocate for us. They get a lot of our dollars, but they might not necessarily put things into the grassroots movement that we know can help the community. So, you know, Ice Cube is a start. I think what the brother's doing is good. I think, you know, from the gate, I think the brother's intelligent. I think he's smart enough to know if he, you know, he doesn't know everything, but he's smart enough to reach out to the people who can, you know, reach out to the economists, to the people who can actually, you know, articulate and draw plans for, you know, for black economic empowerment and things like that. So, you know, I salute the brother. I salute T.I. I salute Killer Mike. These brothers are trying to do what they do. I think at some point they're going to have to pick a side, because I think they still want to tiptoe and play in the middle and, you know, try to please their white fans and white corporate interests. You know, they don't want to piss them off. But at some point, they're going to have to pick a side. And that's all I'm, you know, that's going to happen. So it is what it is. We'll see which side they pick at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Hey, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here. Yes. Let's get back to the call line. Harry Cole, 314-314-833. You'd like to make a comment or ask a question?
Well, it's real simple. excuse me. I was just kind of listening to what you all were saying as far as who that Trump prejudice, he not prejudice, some of the stuff Kevin was saying. You know, some of the things that you say, Kevin, you know, it do appear that you might be a little racist when it comes to black and white to me. But, you know, it's okay because they are. But the thing of it is, her daughter was saying, I don't believe, as far as prejudice, not liking black, I don't think he like anybody that don't have status of money like him. And that's considered white, Hispanic, whoever, whatever race. You know, that's the way I see this man, Trump. You know, if you ain't got the money, he ain't, because he's looking at all races as poor trash when you don't have money. That's how I look at it. I could be wrong, but that's just how I see it. So I wouldn't say that he don't like just black people. If you ain't in his status with the money, I would say that's where he is. So that's just my opinion.
Now I wanted to ask a quick question though.
Okay.
Because I've heard other people say that.
Okay.
Can you give me like just one or two things that specifically give you the impression that Donald Trump do not like black people?
Okay, this is what I'm saying. I can't say that he don't like just per se black people. I just think his thing is that him being that businessman and this multimillionaire, whatever he is, with all this money. And he's trying to keep it there and gain more because greed is greed. So, you know, and he's trying to keep it there. And that's what he's trying to do because he had the money to do that. So if you're not in the ballpark of where he's at with these status of millions or whatever, or billions or whatever he has, then you just just a little peon to him. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You just
so
a little peon.
Like he's done nothing to
him. He's not for
so it's not like
you. Know, I'm not saying
he
might try to hurt you. He just don't want you to tip him off and take nothing from him as far as mm-hmm. keeping his cash where it's flowing. So
yeah.
I wouldn't say that
yeah.
so much as that he's prejudiced. It's just the theory that is just what I'm gathering. And the man, like I say, if you black, white, red, whatever, if you're not
mm-hmm.
in the status with him, then you just nothing to him. That's how I look at it.
Right,
and
but it's not nothing he did specifically. It's not nothing he did specifically that gave you that idea. You just thinking, you just more so feel like the type of person who has that type of money, that's usually how they are. Because like, and the reason I say that is because I always hear Donald Trump say, America first. He's just more so about the business of America. I haven't seen him myself. I haven't seen him directly do anything to say that, hey, I dislike people who don't have the same amount of money as me. I think he may want more people, you know, more Americans to get on his level, but I haven't seen anything that shows me that he's basically going to, you know, take a crap on you because you ain't at his level financially. But I know there's people who are like that.
I mean, well, okay, that's agreeable. But he's saying that let's make America great again. So what do you think he's saying about let's make America great again? Do you think he's saying let's make America great again for all of us, or let's make America great again for the rich?
Right. Now, I'll say, and I'll not to get too far off the subject, but what I believe he's saying is America, as much as we hate to say it, yes, was a great country. You know, it has showed its dominance in as far as the world goes. It's a world leader. So America was great. America has done some evil things, but it is a great nation. Great don't necessarily mean you righteous. It just means you're great.
Right.
You know, you're powerful. So America is great. So basically when he's saying make America great again, my opinion is he's meaning make it all about America first, make it continue to keep it as the world leader. You understand what I'm saying?
So you're saying make America great again, meaning what? Keep it out of the people that come over here and get all this stuff free and all this. You're saying he's trying to just say keep American over in America and keep foreigners and everybody else where they belong. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, keep America a superpower. Keep it great. Keep the factories and stuff like that from going overseas. Keep that stuff in
okay.
the country.
Oh,
yeah, make
okay,
America.
Okay.
Now, that's something we could debate about, you know, at a later time, but that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I'll
all
have
right.
to think about it. But I see what
appreciate
you're saying
it,
on there. Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Now, I got to.
Let me get one more, caller.
Yeah,
let me
ahead,
get one more.
Ahead.
Try to squeeze one more in, my brother.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Eric Code 619-310. Would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
619 or 609? 609.
609.
609-310. Okay, well, I was kind of agreeing with the last two callers. I mean, I've actually. Because Trump is from, I live in Jersey. Trump is from up this way. I've actually met the man way before he became a person. And Trump
right.
is Trump. I'm just saying. I've met him
right.
before he became the president when he was a businessman and he had all that stuff going on with his, you know, with his wife and all that stuff. Trump always been, he always been Trump. He got,
right.
like you said, when it come to money, he got a certain status, and like I said, I don't know if it's that he don't like blacks. I just think, like, he won't, everybody, he if you ain't on his level, it's more or less you beneath him. And I don't think it's got nothing to do with black, white, or nobody. It's about that money. He is a
yeah.
businessman. It ain't even nothing about him being a president. He's more of a businessman than a president. I'm just being honest. Yeah. I ain't really seen him being much presidency. I don't know what y'all have seen, but all I've seen is chaos since he's been in office. And I ain't saying I don't like the man or I dislike him, because I ain't going to say Biden going to do no more of a better job because he can't even speak correctly. So I don't nothing to be against neither one of them. But either way, I think we screw Biden or Trump. Either way, it's going to be a rough one. We're going to have a rough 4 years, all I'm saying. That's how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? I think either way, we're going to have a rough 4 years. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But
yeah.
The thing is,
gotcha.
By him really not, to me, I don't know how he really became a president, because it's a lot of things that he's not skilled at, to me, as being a president. He's still learning, because he didn't learn shit in the last 4 years. Because he didn't do much.
But one thing you did say that's true is he's a businessman. And I agree with you say. He runs
the country.
Exactly,
and that's what he more of. That's what he more of is a businessman. He bought that money, and that's simple as that.
Right.
He bought that money.
Well, I can't be mad at that. And see, that don't bother me, because
I ain't mad at it.
America first.
I'm about that money.
If you claim in the country, you know, you should be, and you're an American, you should be America first. So, yeah, running like a business, ride on other countries, as far as I'm concerned, I'm with that. So I don't have no problem with him being a businessman. And when we say he's not as presidential, to me, that's just, you might as well say politician. Like, and most of these politicians, they just say what they say. Just to you know, to play up on us. But none of the politicians really stick by their word. They just say a bunch of words, a bunch of promises.
Yep. And dance just to get in office.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Yep, because even Biden, he's talking a bunch of promises, but he can't even see what he's talking about to even get an understanding, because that whole debate thing, I'm like, I was lost for real.
Right.
I don't know about y'all, but I was a little lost over there.
Yes,
for
indeed.
Real.
A lot of
it was like
were.
Two
was right
kids
on.
In the kindergarten. I don't like your mama. What are we doing here? This
exactly.
is supposed to be a presidential debate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, right on, Carla. We appreciate
you. Thanks for calling in, Carla. Appreciate you.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, just real quick, because I was saying, because people be like, well, do Trump hate blacks or this and that? See, that's what I was talking about. When it comes to racism, it's about power and domination. So I think, like the caller just said, Trump is Trump. Trump is a billionaire. He comes from money. He's used to dealing with money. He's been in circles where there have been few black people, although when he did get his casinos and things, it was beneficial to congregate with black people. It was beneficial to do business, have fights, you know, do business with Don King, have these athletes, and so on and so forth. So it's not that he doesn't like black people per se. It's just that I believe, in my opinion, his mentality is white people should be in control. White people should make decisions. They're the smarter ones to make decisions about black people, and they should be the ones dominating and, you know, controlling what black people do. That's how I think he thinks. So it's not like he doesn't like, oh, I don't like black people. And, of course, he's never going to say that or do that. That would be crazy. So racism is about power and control. This man is about power and control for his family, his clan, which are mostly white people, if not all white people. We can look at the judges he's selecting. So that's the thing with Trump, and Trump has always been Trump. He's been that dude. And my next point before we wrap it up, because I've been called racist twice on this show. By definition, no, I am not racist, because I do not believe that my race is superior and we have the right to rule over others, nor do I have the power of a government or a system in place to even enforce that belief. So, no, I'm not racist. Racism is not about, you know, not liking white people or so on and so forth. No, there's none of that. I, for one, don't have the power to be racist. Number two, I don't believe in racism. I think race is a made-up thing. I think race is something that is socially engineered. You dig what I'm saying? And, no, I'm not a racist. So I just wanted to clear that up because I was called racist twice. So, no, I'm not. And racism is not about liking. It's not about emotional liking. A racist can have a white friend. A racist can be married to a black person. Imagine that. See, we can't comprehend that type of stuff, but this is how these people think.
Well, Brother Kev, we can debate about you being racist again on another show, because we actually did have this discussion before. It's in our archives, and
this,
you know, we've been round and round about this. And I have
this
to say myself, yes, I believe you're racist as well. And I'm not married to you for this.
On what merit, though? When have I ever said I don't like white?
I'm not married, but
you got to give me what I have said that makes me racist.
It is what it is.
And then if you give me that, then we good. Just tell me what I said that makes me racist.
All right, after this election is over with, you know, family, if y'all want to hear me and Kev go round and round about him being racist, make sure y'all email us, let us know who you call in next week if y'all want to hear this Clash of the Titans again about Brother Kev being racist. We'll make it happen once this election is over with. As far as I am about Trump, that's still, most people hate it. They might say I'm cooning, whatever, all that. Trump still is my guy. He entertains me. He makes me laugh. Hey, I need 4 more years of that. I'm with it. Bring it all. Bring it on, Trump. Come on with it. What the hell we got to lose? That's what the man said. What we got to lose? So, you know, bring him in. So, I guess next week, I think we got one more debate coming up? Is there one more coming, Brother Kev?
Yeah, I think so. It's one more that was scheduled because they had a total of 3. So I think there is one more scheduled. So, yes.
All right. So we'll check that out. And we're almost at the finish line. We're almost there. So thanks for calling in, everyone. We appreciate y'all supporting us. You know, catch us every Sunday. Again, every Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you haven't already, make sure you check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Collective Minds Radio.
Thank you so much, caller, for calling in.
Oh, there go Ryan. Come on with it. Go ahead.
Thank
say something.
So
say
much,
something,
caller. Right? Just thanking all the callers. Everybody
right.
made
Stand
great points.
On
I appreciate
we
you.
About to
Peace.
Earn it out. Tune in and turn it up. Collective of colorful perspective. The brothers. Word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. Dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like we walk in. Collective mind.
Yeah, they gon' feel this. Let that play out.
Collective mind.
What they thought.